All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. April the 24th, 2025. Beautiful day on the east side of the country. I hope it's great wherever you were at. Woke up this morning to a absolutely gorgeous day. It's supposed to be like 75 for the rest of the week. Maybe a little bit of rain at the end of the week, but man, what a... Right in the pocket, man. Beautiful, beautiful time of the year. I hope it is wonderful all over, right? All over the place, but it's definitely beautiful here. And I got up this morning, went for my walk, feeling good. You know, it is interesting when, you know, there was a period this winter where I was just feeling pretty crummy. Slightly physically, slightly mentally, spiritually, all across the board, feeling sort of crummy. And I definitely contribute that to the weather and the time of the year. But when I decided to start walking in the morning, and it had to get warm enough, right? I mean, I wasn't doing it during the winter. This time of year, I always say, why can't I walk all winter? And I probably could, but man, something happens in the morning when that wind and cold air is blowing. I'm like, I don't know, maybe I'll go to a gym. And I never go to the gym. And so, of course, I never really do much exercising during the winter. But, you know, on the shoulder months when it starts to break and I finally say, that's it, and I'm going to go for a walk, and I start walking, and I've been walking every day since I made that decision, I feel a lot better. I mean, I feel great. Am I at a perfect weight? No. I wish I was a little lighter. Part of it's age. I'm definitely slowing down. Even at 56, you know, I mean, arguably I could be, some people would say I'm still young, and, you know, then there's a bunch of people below me that say you're getting old, and, you know, it is whatever it is, but I know I feel myself slowing down. I power washed the front and the back of the house yesterday. We have a front porch, and we have a screened-in porch on the back, and if you're like most of us, our porches were covered in pollen. It's pollen season, so, man, everything is covered in pollen, and we all try to, you know, I'm not going to wash my car yet. I know we got more pollen, or hopefully if we get a rain, we can knock some of this pollen down, and whatever it is we try to figure out as our plan to attack the pollen. I finally had enough of the pollen, and because it was tracking it into the house. That's how thick it was, and so I power wash it. I usually power wash the front and the back of the house every year. I'll do it again. My in-laws are coming down, and next month, so I'll probably do it before they get here too, but I just had to do it yesterday. It was so bad, and oh my God, it looks so much better. But I just, you know, at one point yesterday, I think I was dragging a hose around the house, and I'm just like slowly, gingerly walking around with this hose, and you know, nothing's in a hurry. I probably would have been a little more in a hurry as a younger person, but you know, what's my rush? And you know, so I'm just gingerly walking around the yard with my hose, and you know, I just pictured myself, you know, doing it, and I just imagine myself looking like I'm 100 years old, but, you know, whatever, it is what it is. But, you know, it just reminds me, man, I'm grateful to be sober, right, and take care of myself. And, you know, for whatever reason, I couldn't get the walking going during the winter. I have been consistently walking every day, 2.2 miles, and every loop, I do 10 squats, 10 standing squats, so stand to squat. And so I end up with doing about 50 of those in the walk. And I just, you know, I don't even know if I've lost any weight, but I feel better. I also made a commitment to try to eat more food. I'm not eating enough. My own insanity is destroying me, so I'm trying to eat a little extra. You know, I've been caught up in all this intermittent fasting and starving and, you know, just eating little things throughout the day. And I think it's honestly, it's all fucking with me. I need to eat 3 meals a day, 3 decent meals, you know, a sandwich, you know. I need to really eat instead of this nitpicking bullshit that I've been doing all day. It's just, I think my body thinks I'm starving. So I'm trying to eat better, more consistent. I'm trying to exercise. And the outcome is I feel better today. I feel decent. And I'm grateful for that, right? So many problems that existed in my life, and today it really comes down to, you know, am I eating right? Am I doing the best I can, right? And am I being honest about it? Song and Emotion, Tesla. It's a good song. Yeah, it's so I guess, you know, it's just great, and I just know better, right? Sorry, I was trying to turn up the volume. I know what to do. It's just, do I choose to do it? And you know, that's the nice thing about paddling. I signed up for paddling to paddle through the winter, to hopefully do something that sort of keeps me in shape. The weather didn't really allow us to do much of that this past winter, so, you know. But the fact is that, you know, I end up just sort of feeling like shit. And, you know, for most people, you know, some days you just feel like shit, right? Some days it's just that way. Not every day has to be fantastic, but, you know, one of the things about recovery and doing this podcast is that I constantly feel like I'm analyzing myself, and I really don't try to. I do want to feel good, and I do want to be happy. And I definitely want to avoid doing the things that can do the opposite, right? And so I think, you know, anytime someone starts to get into recovery and starts to address some of these things that go on in our life, you know, it does feel good. And, you know, people say you can feel as good as you want, right? It's your choice. And I absolutely get that as well. And so, but for today, right, I wake up every day and I do this nice walk. And I'm feeling I feel the benefits from it. So I'm grateful for that. You know, I wanted to come up. I sat down, or I went, you know, I went to a meeting last night. Yesterday was Wednesday. One, I'm trying to be a little more consistent about doing the podcast. And two, you know, I went to a meeting last night. So, I mean, if anything I should talk about, it's probably that. And I went to the meeting last night. It was fantastic. A buddy of mine shared. He's going to have, I think, next month, 10 years, which is awesome. And but, you know, he brought up a subject that has been brought up before. I think I've talked about it on this podcast before, which is that today he is recovered. I've even said that in the past. You know, there was even a moment where I, at some point, felt like I have become recovered. And I do understand that after a while and doing a lot of work and, you know, because like I've said 1,000 times, right, lived in such a place, such a low spot, such a place of shame, A lot of focus on me, a lot of finger pointing, a lot of statements, accusations about me for a long time, all true, right? You know, a lot of inconvenience brought to others, a lot of attention on me. And one of the things about getting sober, for one, and just putting down the drink, freed up a lot of people's attention, right? As soon as I put down the drink, a lot of people had better things to do than look at me, right? We slowly quiet down and slip under the radar. And that's nice, right? Because such a big time portion of my life was always about, you know, some sort of shit I was getting into. And so a lot of that quieted down immediately when I started to get sober, and the conversations changed and the questions changed, right? In the past, when's your court date? How are you going to get that fixed? Are you going to be able to find a new place? Do you think they'll forgive you? Haven't you done this before? Haven't you learned your lesson? What were you thinking? That's always a big one. What were you thinking? And, you know, and then you or me, I get sober, or at least start the journey, and the questions start to become, you still going to your meetings? What time's your meeting? How was the meeting? Because all the other shit just sort of drops away. And so it's real easy early on, and even later on, right? It's real easy just to feel like I'm recovered. And especially when you do end up doing a bunch of work and you start to get some of the benefits on the backside of, you know, the real honesty and stuff, there does become a point, and maybe we are recovered. But I, you know, I shared in the meeting last night, and I like this guy, and I don't bring this up in any negative sense, but, you know, I brought it up last night. You know, I'll have, I think this year I celebrate 18 years, but I haven't had a drink, right? So this is the fun, this is the mental gymnastics that goes on in my head, right? Like, I haven't had a drink, I haven't actually drank a drink of alcohol in 19 years, right? I changed my sobriety date because of pain pills 2 years later, right? And so this year when I celebrate, I will celebrate 18 years of continuous sobriety off of pain pills and alcohol, right, and drugs. But I'm really celebrating almost 20 years of being off alcohol, right? And that's what got me here, right? And this whole mental gymnastics of trying to figure out, and like I said last night, and to be honest, you know, as a person that is recovered, today I did not feel like coming to this meeting. Right? You know, having had the spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, our job now is to be there for the next alcoholic. Even the founders knew that there would become a time where we would feel recovered. And unfortunately, recovered is probably somebody's good idea. And sure, I think you can be recovered, but you better have a sponsor and you better have a bunch of people around you, because the spiritual malady that takes place, and, you know, back in the day, you know, going to our place down in Cardiff by the Sea, or going to the Leucadian down in Leucadia, we're drinking beers and we're having shots and we're, you know, enjoying the life, no idea that that was a spiritual malady. No idea that I was under attack by the dark side, right? Not the higher power, but a lower power. And there was probably a voice that said, man, this is the best time ever. And maybe it was. But I definitely wasn't under a spiritual battle, right? And believe me, on those days, there was no desire to get sober. I had no desire. I was on board. I loved the pain. I loved the fear. I loved the worry. I loved all the shit that came with that lifestyle that I lived. I loved it. I loved sneaking around at night. I loved that shit. I mean, that was, I'm a night owl. I'm a night person, and being high all day and staying up all night and, you know, tweaking and doing all that shit during the night, that was my jam. I loved it. Some people like to, you know, take things and become, you know, sitting on a couch and just being in a, you know, like these people standing there folded over. Some people like that. I was always an up guy. I was never a down guy. And so, but you know, that is me completely in my addiction and absolutely loving it, right? Of course, the only problems I had in that time was, you know, getting arrested and getting busted and, you know, all that fourth waiver and that lifestyle of people, you know, telling on each other and just being out of their minds. You know, that was not as my favorite part of it, but it was not bad. It wasn't horrible. But I wasn't thinking about spirituality or any of that shit. You know, I've always said, I haven't always said it, but I sort of came to the conclusion that I think the reason that I became such an alcoholic and such reliant on alcohol is because I think I replaced, because I was, I used speed the same way. I was a total speedhead when I lived out in California. We used alcohol, but it was usually to try to chill us out, you know, if it, you know, like, I need to mellow, you know, a couple shots or ease it down a bit, son. But when I moved to Delaware and I lost that ability, and thank God, right? Oh, my God, thank God I was able to escape California and, you know, get off of that shit. But when I got off of that shit, in my mind, right, I could replace it with alcohol, and that was legal. And so that was the green light to proceed, and proceed I did, and just on full blast, and it was just really a mess. And but you know, all that behind me, here we are today, and you know, I'm not dealing with cravings, I'm not dealing with memories of a good time this past weekend that I'm battling. What I deal with today is, I've been doing this a long time, maybe I can skip this meeting. It hit me 5 years into my recovery the last time. 5 years into recovery, and the demon showed up, and I wasn't prepared, and didn't have any expectations of any of this taking place. I thought I was in the clear. 5 years, look at me. I got this, and I didn't. You know, I was recovered. But the problem was is that the demons, they came a sneaking in, and they've you know, they got me, and I went back out and, you know, struggled, and luckily, right, luckily, I had to make the choice. It wasn't based on hitting a tree in my car. It wasn't based on getting beat up. It wasn't based on, you know, my wife leaving. It wasn't based on being fired. It was based on I had had enough. You know, they talk about a fucking belly full of beer and a head full of AA. Well, that's what I had. I also shared last night, you know, when I came back into the program, I had this feeling that I had thrown all that time away. That's a self-centered person. That's what self-centered people worry about. What about my time? What about my coins? Who fucking cares? But that's how I felt. What about my time? I thought I'd thrown it all away. No. I think about that time all the time. That time that I threw away, air quotes, is the foundation of the time that I have today. It is the what is most important. Because I personally watched myself go to the top and then to the bottom. And I know exactly. And it isn't because I had bad luck, right? It isn't because so-and-so. It isn't because of my job, right? It's because I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in God. And that deficiency, right, that deficiency is what got me. You know, they talk about measles, right, this whole measles outbreak. And there are people that say, listen, measles, you can cure the measles with food and nutrition. You know, one of the problems that measles had back in the 1800s, right, was that we lived in shitty conditions. We lived 20 to a house, no running water, no refrigeration, no sanitation. You know, it was a fucking terrible, disgusting fucking time to live in the country. But what they found is that the people that did die of measles back in the 1700s and 1800s were deficient in nutrition, vitamin A. Right? I'm not saying, you know, to each his own, but listen, if you get the measles and that's all you got, try to find some vitamin A, right? There are solutions. And it's the same thing with recovery. You know, I was deficient in God. You know, I was going to meetings, right? I'm freaking meeting with my sponsor. I'm writing down steps. I'm going through this stuff. But I have no God. And it almost killed me like the measles. But, you know, there's no vaccine for alcoholism. this disease will absolutely kill you, and there is no vaccine. There is a cure. It's called 12 Steps of AA. You know, I remember that reading yesterday, talking about other outlets to help you with recovery. And I'm still, you know, I've been thinking about that all day. I thought about it all day, and I was thinking about it this morning. You know, I don't know if that's, I guess that was as Bill sees it. I guess he wrote that. Maybe. I don't know. I don't, any other opportunity, any other off-ramp to try to find recovery, it's like, remember Oprah, she had the 10 steps, right? It's either an attempt on making something that's literally secretly, you know, maybe most people don't realize it unless you are in recovery and do realize what they've done. But they try to make programs of recovery based on the 12 steps of AA, but in their own little way, like it's some original idea. Mm-mm, no. You know, this 12 steps, the 12 steps of AA are so perfect. Perfect. I don't think you could write it any better. You know, I've always said, you know, if I, like the 10 step, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. You know, I do. I wouldn't change it. And don't do it again at the end might be helpful. But listen, I wouldn't change a freaking thing. The 12 steps of AA are so perfect. The problem is that a person is typically hijacked by a parasite called the dark side, the devil. And the devil don't want you doing any of this. The devil doesn't want you talking about God. The devil doesn't want you being deficient in your lower power. The devil wants you to be deficient in your higher power. Shared before, so many people have come in this program and say, I'll do this, I'll do that, but I'm not going to do the God part. I'm like, wow. That's crazy. And I even think I said that. I definitely thought it. Because what if, you know, my history shows I don't have a great relationship with God, because God hasn't given me anything, or he hasn't fixed anything, he hasn't done any miracles for me. So you know what? Screw God. But that's the person that, you know, that kind of person is, that's the kind of thing that that kind of person wants. And I had to change, and I had to start to understand. And so today I look at these 12 steps, and I don't know what else I could be doing. Meetings, right? I do think that there are things that are around this program that are important. Going to meetings, sponsorship, you know, taking the secretary commitment, whatever it is, we can, service positions. I think all of that is important, but I don't know what other book. You know, I do like Drop the Rock. I think that's an awesome book. If you haven't read it, you should definitely read it. It's a great book about our character defects and our shortcomings. It's not AA literature. It's not AA literature approved, but, you know, it's pretty good. There are some other books, but it's these philosophers or whatever they are, these other people. I don't care. The 12 steps of this program are perfect, and the 12 traditions are perfect. And if we do follow them, right, and if we are rigorously honest, and we are, you know, and we do care, right, then we'll probably realize that we never become recovered. Like I said, having had the spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, our job now is to, let me just read it because, you know, I get the book in my hand. It's a freaking big step. Having had the spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. That's right. So, you know, I love the idea of being recovered. There are, you know, I've also said before, you know, alcoholics, or me as an alcoholic, you know, I tend to climb to the top of the mountain and then I run around the tip and make trouble for myself. I'm just not content You know, I don't. I do believe we can make more of this. It's sort of part of the problem I have with this podcast is like I, you know, so many things I can talk about. But you know, whatever it is. But you know, there's this point where I do understand about feeling recovered. We've done it all. But just the idea that we feel like we're recovered and we've done it all is an actual, could be a potential problem. You know, it could be the beginning of a character defect. The character defect being that I think I've got it all figured out. And believe me, I thought I've had it all figured out many times and I didn't. And I thought I've had this program figured out and absolutely did not. And so, you know, I guess the whole point is that, you know, you can be recovered, but then you start over tomorrow, right? We have it one day at a time. And like I told that guy last night, believe me, I feel like I've done this long enough where I should be labeled as recovered. But the fact is, there was a voice yesterday that was telling me that we didn't feel like going to that meeting last night. You know, I've shared in the podcast that I've been trying to figure out ways of mixing it up, right? Or is that just, you know, my lower power slowly mixing me out? Because in my mind, it sounds like a good idea. Let's find new meetings. Hold on. All right. Sorry. I had the doors open and the freaking people cutting grass. But yeah, is that my lower power slowly, you know, talking me out of going to meetings? That's what happened to me before. And so, you know, coming all the way back around, right? You know, when I feel like, when I hear people say, you know, I've wasted all that time. We don't waste the time, even though we went back out, even though it didn't work out the first time and we're back. It's not a waste of time because I look at those times today and I remind myself, remember, because that's, you know, that's key. When that starts to happen, when that voice starts to telling me, giving me the evidence where I'm recovered, right? I don't like the way this is done. I don't like the way this is done. And it's justified that I don't go back. I have to remember. And I used that history in the past, even though it's not countable time, which doesn't even matter. But it's still time. And I use that as something to reference when I think, man, this has happened before. We got to, you know, let's not do that again. Let's talk about that. And so, yeah, I don't know. Let's see. I'm going to read the daily reflections and I'm going to go work. And try not to worry about all this stuff. But it's a great day. Grateful to be sober. I hope everyone's doing well. Let's see. Learning to love ourselves. Nice. April 24th. Alcoholism has a lonely... Oh, wait a minute. Alcoholism was a lonely business. Even though we were surrounded by people who loved us, we were trying to find emotional security either by dominating or being dependent upon others. We still vainly try to be secure, but some unhealthy sort of domination or dependence, as Bill sees it, page 252. When I did my personal inventory, I found that I had unhealthy relationships with most people in my life. My friends and family, for example, I always felt isolated and lonely. I drank to dull emotional pain. It was through staying sober, having a good sponsor, and working the 12 steps that I was able to build my low self-esteem. First, the 12 steps taught me to become my own best friend. And then when I was able to love myself, I could reach out and love others. Yeah, that's awesome. All right, I appreciate you letting me share. And have a great day. Bye.